Welcome to Dayspring Church Podcast. As you listen, you may want to take a moment to pause and reflect on what God is highlighting for you.
This morning, we're going to be talking about table communities. Yeah, our journey and the adventures that we had last year, and also our heart for the year ahead as we seek to continue this journey that we began last year. I have our core table communities team with us, which is made up of the fabulous Chris Harvey, myself, and our leader, the beautiful Sarah Farmer.
Yahoo!
And we also have some table community leaders and members with us here, the fabulous Tim and Karen Harwood, Caitlin Needs, and the beautiful Jenny Bramley. Why don't you give them a warm welcome? Well, like you heard last week as part of our Vision Sunday, who enjoyed that? Who's excited about the year ahead? Yeah. You would have heard that discipleship, again, it's a core value and pursuit for our community here at Dayspring. To know Jesus, to become like him, to learn how to live lives that make him known. Amen? It's the heartbeat. And we know that we grow as disciples. I mean, that there, to know Jesus, to become like him, and to live lives that make him known, that's the very definition of a disciple of Jesus Christ, is it not? And we know that to grow in our discipleship in Jesus, to Jesus, it happens in two different contexts. It happens with our own individual relationships with him, but it happens alongside others whose heart is to do the very same thing in the context of community. And this really was the reason and the heart behind the development of table communities last year. If you are new here, table communities is essentially just our midweek connect groups where we seek to learn to follow Jesus alongside one another. Because we know that to become mature in our faith, it has to be more than just coming to church on a Sunday. Even though that is good and right, I need to take what I get from my encounter with Jesus, what I hear from the Word, and I need to learn how to work that out and live that out in my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And I do that best when I figure that out alongside other people who are seeking to do the same. So it was around this same time last year that we launched Table Communities, and we saw over 200 of you join our journey and begin Table Communities. And actually, it was a bit of an adventure, was it not, Sarah? My goodness, like all good things involving people, trying to get 200 people living all across Sydney into groups, you know, happy meeting in a time that suited, in a place that suited, in a way that suited. It was not easy, guys. But of the original 200 that signed up, we retained over 80% who stayed and journeyed along throughout the whole of 2025. Yeah, why don't you give yourselves a hand? Because that is no small thing at all. And the year was filled with beautiful testimonies that encouraged and at times challenged us to continue to cultivate this journey of community together here at Dayspring. So much so, we really felt that it was on our heart and God's heart to only see that increase this year. And that was really the reason why the senior team, we felt to make it the sole focus of our 21 days of prayer and fasting this year around this important idea of community. And we trust that that whole experience was of an encouragement to you. Did we enjoy 21 days of community? Yeah? Yeah? And we utilized some of the John Mark Comer content for that. And he says that in a world of radical individualism, fast-paced modern living, and a bombardment of different ideologies being put before us at every moment of every day, living in regular, intentional community is a vital act of counter-formation and a radical witness to our surrounding culture. How true is that? It's a powerful truth. You know, every time we as individuals choose one another over the cultural pull to be busy or self-serving or isolated, we are putting the gospel on display. Every time we count that cost and choose one another. Amen. If you are part of a table community, if you are leading one, co-leading, hosting, or you are just a member, could you stand to your feet this morning? Come on, if you are a member, a leader, a co-leader, a host, all across this place, if you were involved in His Men, because we also have one or two groups that is also a small group connection point. Why don't we give these people a round of applause? It is no small thing what you are involved in and what you are making space for week in and week out. Not just the strengthening of your own faith, but the strengthening of our community and the wider body of Christ. Amen. So this morning, we simply want to acknowledge and celebrate the journey that we've been on with our table communities, but also hopefully extend the invitation for some more of you who might be in a season where you're thinking, actually, this is something I know that I really need. Me and my family, we need this. And so we are going to hear some testimonies, and we're going to begin with a small video that has some familiar stories and testimonies, as well as some new ones about the journey so far.
We're Tim and Karen, and we're leading a table community in Glenhaven.
My name is Joel. I've been part of this table community group for the last year and a half, along with my wife, Bless, and Nikki, Emeraldo, and the kids.
My name is Jean, and I've been a part of the table community for about 6 months now.
I'm Mona, and I've been part of the table community for 10 months now.
Yes, I'm Michael, the husband of Mona, and I've also been a part of this co-leading.
My name's Naomi. I'm part of the North Parramatta Table Community Group. We've been meeting since September last year.
I think after we got married, we were really wanting to get better integrated into the church. We had recently had a house that we could host.
I knew the family because I was one of the leaders for kids, so I knew Keturah, and I got to meet them because they brought Keturah to me.
I really loved the idea of reinforcing what we're learning as a church community in smaller groups throughout the week.
It was good. Like, I didn't know anyone there. Like, I was excited about meeting people and I guess just expectant.
Table communities have been really good for me because it allows me and the rest of my family to actually discuss what we got out of the sermon the previous Sunday.
Because we've known each other for so long, the group actually provided a platform where we can really dive in, be a safe place for us to open up our hearts to each other.
I think joining a community is very important when you're a part of a church. It's just bringing people together, sharing your life with one another, because that's what we as group of believers are called to do.
We meet every fortnight, and so just as we've been meeting and we've been fellowshipping, we've been having a meal together and praying and studying, like, well, the friendship's grown.
It's been a blessing listening to people's stories, you know, people that some people that might be a little bit further on in the journey than me and have had similar struggles, I guess, but seeing their kind of testimony at the other side of things that I might be going through now.
So we have kind of a little apartment and we're still able to fit in, you know, 10 to 12 people. So people aren't precious so long as there's, I don't know, space to sit on the floor even. It's enough to host.
Most of our children go to youth on Friday nights. We all drop our children off, then we come together, and then designated parents will go and pick them up. They usually have dessert with us afterwards.
In terms of not needing to do preparation and for content, we found it's been quite easy, particularly with the materials provided.
The booklet had a lot of information. Introducing Dig Deep was extremely helpful. So there was no pressure about, you know, preparing for something.
It meant you could focus a bit more on what do you need to do in actually forming a new group of people that don't know each other. How do you focus on the relationships side of things?
With the guidance from Sarah, have Dig Deep translated for children. So we use the ideas that she gives us to make it child friendly, and we spend part of our Connect group doing a children's version first, and then we move on to the adult one.
I was surprised at how quickly the platform allowed everyone to open up, which it wasn't necessarily an easy thing on a day-to-day basis or on other times of gathering.
I kind of organise the food or the supper or the meal before we do our Bible study together. I love baking, so it's been quite fun to bake something every taco.
Definitely give it a go. If you want to really feel connected within the community, you'll find you'll be really blessed just to be able to connect in.
have those people that, oh yeah, like they're in my table community and we're like hugging each other, we'll properly have a deep catch up at church. It's hard to form those friendships just through church things. So it changes how we interact at church by having these communities.
Be brave. Like, we're designed for community. We're not meant to be by ourselves. Growth happens when you're walking with other people.
It's a great way of getting to know people that you wouldn't ordinarily get to know.
We've had experiences where the Holy Spirit has fallen. We've been speaking in tongues. We wash each other's feet. It's just a place to allow yourself to be vulnerable and with like-minded people.
Oh, we have such great people in our community, don't we? So beautiful. Yeah. And I just want to say, when we were looking at, oh, okay, we're going to be doing this today, and do we need to do a new video? And then we looked at this video and we're like, nope, because it's so good. You know, all the people that are in this are still in their table communities. They're still leading. They're still a part of it. Bar a couple that went to England for 18 months, but we'll forgive them for that. Yeah, it's just really encouraging to see that they're, you know, you guys have stayed in your communities, and that's really beautiful. So we did introduce this very early on with a little testing group, if you will, a little beta group. It sounds so clinical, but we're wanting to be realistic with, is this something that our community is going to, you know, appreciate and be blessed by? And so we wanted to make sure, hear feedback from them, and they were really helpful in giving us that feedback, and so that we could continue on, encourage, change things that needed to be changed. And so we did that video at the end of that period so that we could then launch it to all of you. But we also then started a whole new group of table communities from that day on. And so we wanted to invite a couple of those this morning to share what their experience has been so you can hear from them, but also include a couple of the OG leaders to let us know how it's been going from that very beginning. So nearly 18 months? Yeah, because I think that's important for us to hear that as well. So let's begin with Karen and Tim. Let me introduce everybody. So we've got Karen and Tim, we have Caitlin, and we have Jenny. So they're all going to share from their own individual experiences. But yeah, we'll start with you guys. So how long? So we just said 18 months. That's pretty good. Let's give them a hand of applause for that. So how has that connection level developed over time from that beginning until now?
Yeah, I think it's developed quite naturally. I think initially when we start new groups, we kind of think it'd be really nice for it to just happen quite quickly. And that's probably not the best way for resilient relationships to develop, is, you know, with speed. So I think we've definitely developed a connection over time. So it's taken just small intentional steps to get to know one another. I think one of the great parts of the table community is we're here to, it's kind of almost a stated purpose. We're here to get to know one another, to love and support one another, and to become resilient disciples together. And I guess when we're meeting with that really common goal, there is a bit of speeding up is not quite the right word, but I guess, yeah, speeding up of those connections. We don't have to wonder, you know, why are you here? Why are you in my house? What do you actually want from me? We kind of already know we're here to get to know one another and to support one another. And then we're all taking those just small steps together, getting to know one another, sharing our hearts as it's appropriate. That happens just quite naturally.
Tim, how do you see it continuing to grow from here now that you're well in?
We were actually talking about that this week in our table community and reflecting on the video from the last week of the 21 days with John Mark Comer, and looking at what is the next 10%, what's the next step for us to take, because we're on a journey of discipleship, and just looking at what for us as a group And that's in line with what we're doing as a church in terms of pushing more into prayer and that sort of things as well. But just looking for that next step. We've got a really good foundation. People keep turning up, so I'm assuming that they're enjoying it as much as we are. And it's been a really great encouragement for us, having that extra time during the week, that intentional time when you're getting together to push further beyond just what we do on Sundays. That extra time to push more into discipleship has been really great.
Amazing, thank you. And Jenny, over there, hello.
Hi.
What we love about your group is it's so culturally diverse, isn't it? It's amazing. And so I guess we wanted to ask, how well did you know each other beforehand, and how has that developed within this context?
Yeah, it's a really very multicultural group, which is absolutely wonderful. And by the way, Ian Willis is actually our group leader, but he couldn't be here today, so I'm the stand-in. And the only person that we knew when we joined the group was Ian, really. So it's been a really interesting journey. But when I was thinking about this situation of multiculturalism, I was reminded that in actual fact, when God created humans, He created us to be one family. And it was sin that created all the different cultures and the different languages that separated us all. And I feel that we can see all around us, and our church is a microcosm of that, the evidence that Jesus is gathering His family back into unity. And in our little multicultural taco group, I just feel that we're privileged to participate in what He's doing. The interesting thing about it, I mean, you learn so much about other cultures, you enjoy other foods, you hear and learn about different ways that people deal with issues, different religious backgrounds and things like that. It's really fascinating and so interesting. It does, however, require some personal challenges and changes. And I find it's really challenged me in the areas of humility and patience and listening with an open mind and with a lot of generosity. Remaining curious, and I know Aaron talks a lot about curiosity, and I find that's really important when we've got so many different cultures. Another really important one is not taking offence and being quick to forgive. And also for looking for ways to celebrate each other's cultures as gifts, not barriers.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And just keeping in mind that big picture, that we are actually trying to fulfil God's original purpose for us in our groups. And as we work together towards understanding, appreciation and unity, we are finding a way back into the true family that God always intended us to be and that we will be when He comes.
Thank you. It's beautiful.
Thanks, Jenny. I'm going to ask Caitlin a question, and Caitlin and I are actually in the same table community. So the question I'm about to ask her, I probably have some inkling of what the answer is, but why don't I ask her for your sake? You have a young family, and how has your whole family experienced and benefited from being part of our table community?
Yeah, so we have teenagers and a seven-year-old, and we've been coming up to a year in our taco. And over Christmas and New Year's, obviously, we had a break. And it was in January, I was driving in the car, and the girls started asking, was taco on this Sunday? Like, no, not yet, telling them when it's going to start. And then someone asked, is it with the same people? And I said, yes. And Elliot, our 14-year-old, who was sitting at the front, went, yes. So to me, that was so beautiful and a true reflection of what I witness when it happens. You know, the greatest joy, like obviously for Ben and I, Taco is part of our discipleship, but being able to watch each of our girls establish relationships within our Taco and see how they participate. And, you know, teenagers can often be too cool for things, but our girls have had friends come over after church and without even asking them to, like, it's just, there's no hesitation. Like, of course, them and their friends will sit at the table. They'll participate for lunch and conversation and communion and off and go and do their thing. But to them, like, that's what we do. Like, that's normal. Like, why would I hesitate? And, you know, it's been really beautiful when our family perhaps has walked through challenges, or even our own kids, when they've walked through challenges, I've asked, when appropriate, would you like me to put this on our prayer chat? And when they've said yes, I've done so. And I can actually think of one significant time last year when I did that. And then within a day, the situation hadn't changed, but something had shifted. And sitting on the bed with one of the girls, like, look at what God did. We asked our Taco to pray, and look what God already has done. And so, you know, that's not us orchestrating anything. That's God working through community. And another really beautiful moment is outside of the Williamsons. We don't have family here in Sydney, so Grandparents' Day rolled up at Hope School. I was thinking, who's the oldest person? Clearly Uncle Aaron. But Hope had a different idea. And out of her own mind, she thought, well, Jan and Chris, can I ask Jan and Chris? And we asked, and they said yes. They stepped into that role for the day. So off Hope went to school, Grandparents' Day, with Jan and Chris. And it's just so beautiful to see our kids experience God's community. And so for us, children have not been a reason not to participate. They've been all the more reason to participate. And they are learning that, yes, we are found in Christ, but we're also to be found in his people, amongst his people. That is where he establishes and forms us. And they are learning that, not through what I tell them, but through their own experience. So.
I have to say, as one who's received that connection, it is a really just lovely connection with those precious ones. So, yeah. We might now ask some questions for open it up to everyone, but here's one. Is there a personal reflection you could share about your journey of being in the Table community, from how you felt from when you started until where you are now? Is there something that, as you reflect on that time that's passed, that stands out to you?
Yep, I'll start. I think when we first started our Table community, there's always just a little bit of natural awkwardness, and you're a little bit unsure. We didn't really know any of our people in our Table community when we first started. And I think for me, a personal reflection is, how good is it to push through the awkward and to end up with connections with people you never would have connected with otherwise? And we've made some beautiful relationships, and every, you know, fortnight when we come to church, I'm just so excited to see these people. And I think that's, like, there's obviously, you know, more steps to take, but push through, my reflection is, push through the awkward, or they're just a little bit uncomfortable or unsure, because there's gold to have on the other side, and beautiful community to have on the other side if you're willing to push forward.
I know, because we really didn't know anybody but Ian in the group, it can be quite confronting starting a new group. But one thing I do recognise is that you've got to give groups time. It does take time to transform. We used to move a lot, and I remember my mother saying, just give it a year, and she was pretty well right. You do have to give a group time to form, to get to know each other. The other thing that I found that's really important is that each of the people in the group need to think outside of themselves and consider the whole group. Makes a big difference, because then you're able to treat each person equally and no one person takes over. And I'm just thinking now about where we were in that starting time where we didn't really know each other to where we are now. So on Sundays now, when we come to church, I find myself checking across the church to see who's here and who's not from our group. We've set up a WhatsApp group so that we can stay in contact and pray about specific issues for each other between the meetings. And also when anyone in the group is away, they can stay in contact with us and ask for prayer and so forth and update us. And I think part of formation is it really enabling us as we move more into areas of unity, that we're starting to really sense strong moments when the Holy Spirit is present with us in the group.
Anybody else? I'll just simply say, I was unsure at the beginning. I knew who was going to be in our group and I loved them, but you know, parenting, working, studying, like I'm booked, I'm full, I'm tired. Like, oh, how is this going to go? But showing up in that relational space, it's not another place where, you know, you have to be on and it's draining, but showing up relationally, being authentic, you know, it's actually life-giving and it is recharging. And I'm an introvert. I'm the type of person who loves to go home, close the blinds and, oh, I'm alone. But that's not how I feel after taco, because it's real. And, you know, it turns out God kind of knows what he's doing when he, you know, talks about community, and God is the giver of good gifts and community is his gift to us. So my reflection is, oh, why do I get so awkward and withhold myself from that? God knows what he's doing more than my introvertness or whatever. God knows what he's doing and it's good. So just lean into it and allow him to bless you with what he wants to bless you with.
I would definitely say the same. Yeah, when we started, Aaron and I were like, oh, I don't know, we're involved in a lot of different things. I don't know if we have time for this, but, you know, there is not one single Thursday night that we drive home and I regret being there. You know, sometimes, you know, it is a busy week, it's a full week, and on the way there, I'm like, oh, I'm tired. But every single time I come home encouraged and full and blessed, and I would say that that is and has been one of the biggest beautiful surprises of being involved in for me anyway, in our table community. Every time we begin in prayer or spend just that time in prayer, hearing other people's faith encourages my own, hearing how God is faithful in their lives and in their parenting and in their relationships encourages me. And so that's definitely a reflection from me. What I thought I couldn't give of my time, God has surprised me over and over again in, how much I've been blessed as a result of that. Are you being encouraged out there this morning? Yeah. If we could have the keys play back, that would be great. For the leaders who are sitting here, just a little question about your journey, because sometimes we can be reluctant to not just get involved in something like this, but maybe like about the whole prospect of leading a group like this. And so my question is, did you have doubts about leading in the beginning, and how did you move forward from that?
Absolutely. I guess to start off with, you're thinking, well, what qualifies me to do this? But the hardest bit was saying yes, really, and recognising that that's something Russell preached about recently, that there's, when you're not engaging in community, you're robbing community of the things that you have to give. And that's for every member of our TACO. Everyone brings along something that the rest of us rely on and need to learn from. So I think there was, to start with, definitely lots of doubts, lots of waiting for people to turn up for the first night and wondering how's this actually going to work. We had people from different sides of the church, so that's Jesus breaking down walls. But it was amazing how things came together. Like Karen said earlier, that just that common intent that people came with, that we're all there to go on the same journey, the same discipleship journey, to become more like Jesus. And then for the rest of it, the materials, the dig deep, it sort of made it easy to flow, because it was a flow from what we were doing on Sunday. And just the discussion was prepared for you. You didn't have to go looking for studies or things that you needed to do as a group. You knew that was covered, and that we're all thinking about those things because we just heard that on Sunday anyway.
No, thank you. That seems to be one of the repeated feedback that we get, piece of feedback that we get, that just the value of that dig deep, particularly amongst our leaders, you know, having similar doubts, like what could I bring to this and how do I even go about leading this? But the dig deep, really, you're facilitating something. That whole discussion based on the Sunday sermon is provided for you. And so you are facilitating and just holding space for great discussion on how we can live out what we're learning together here on a Sunday. Yeah. Chris, did you have something that you were going to add to that?
I think going back to Caitlin's point, we actually have quite a lot of time together because it's the whole Sunday afternoon, but the meal time is such a precious time, and you know, we do communion in the middle of that and we ask questions and stuff, but finding the older girls and the younger girls just wanting to hang around and be part of us, it's lovely. I kind of feel like we're just beginning. We're trying to work out how do we do this business of disciples being disciples and discipling one another, and how do we do that when we've got family, we've got kids and that. And I'm quite content that we've only just started a baby steps. But, you know, we see a journey out ahead and we don't know how long it's going to go, but we're going to go together and we're going to pursue. We're going to pursue helping each other grow to become more like Jesus.
Beautiful. Well, in finishing up, I want to ask us all, if someone was asking you today, should I join a table community, what would you say to them?
Yes.
I would say definitely yes, because if you really want to be a part of a church, you need to walk in small groups. It's in the small groups that we really get to hone our skills, each other's skills, and practice our discipleship together and discuss and pray. Discuss issues, pray for each other and support each other. And without that, I don't think we're really, really walking in discipleship.
I'd say don't look at it like a pro and con list, like, oh, do I have time? Can I fit it in? Because, you know, I reflect on having a toddler and a baby. Swimming lessons wasn't convenient. That was a real struggle. But what I was saying yes to far outweighed the struggle. So don't look at it a pro or con list. Like, look at what you're saying yes to. And what does it say in Hebrew? It tells us to not give up meeting together. And that's not when life is perfectly aligned and the seasons are right. That never happens, right? We are told to not give up meeting together. So look at what you're saying yes to. I'm saying yes to being accountable to my discipleship. I'm positioning myself where I actually will be held account. People are there speaking into my life and I'm participating in my discipleship. I'm not taking a back seat just waiting for it to happen, but I'm being obedient to the way that God has called us to live. And there is no perfect time and there is no perfect group. But God will have his perfect way, even through all the imperfections. It's just showing up, committing to it and saying, no, this is what I'm giving my yes to. And if I come with all frazzled, I'm here.
I feel like at the moment, everyone is looking for community. Every, you know, gym or retail chain or Facebook group is trying to call itself a community, but we have the real thing through what Jesus has done for us. So step into it. If there's things that have been stirring in your heart from what's being shared on Sundays, from the messages that have been preached, one way to step into that is to say yes to joining a table community. Put yourself out there, put yourself in the situation where you can grow, where you can be discipled. So yeah, I'd highly recommend it.
Yeah, I would absolutely say join a table community. I think throughout our lives we learn through, you know, struggle and through connection with Jesus, we learn different parts of his character that we come to know really well. And I want to know what you know that I don't yet know. So you've got something to give me and vice versa. And I think that if we show up, then it's great. It's great for me. It's great for Tim. It's great for us all. We need to know what the other person carries that we don't yet know. So I would say definitely join a table community because I need you and hopefully you need what I've got as well. So yep, join.
Can we thank all of our guests this morning? I'm sure we've all got some food for thought. Well, I know we have some food for thought. And speaking of food for thought, Chris, you've got something to share.
Yeah. We're trying to get into a pattern at the end of a message to not just race out or do whatever, but to stop and reflect. So we want to do that this morning. I want you to reflect on how you were feeling and what you were thinking as you heard the other people's experiences. So whether it's the video or from our team out the front here. And as you reflect, what or how might God be encouraging you to be more intentional with these types of relationships this year? What we'll get you to do is share with two or three or whatever around you. And I suggest before you actually chat to each other about this, just take a minute to do that reflecting about what you were thinking and what you were feeling and what you think God's saying to you. We'll give you about 5 minutes if you're lucky, but share that now.
We might. Is it working? Can you hear me? All right, there we are.
You know, I loved how Naomi shared in the video that we're designed for community. And I think some of us have shared this morning here as well. And simply put, community, it just provides that opportunity to love others and to receive love ourselves. And those two can be really hard things sometimes. And so it's important for us to have this opportunity to, yeah, really flex that love muscle, if you will, and learn how to do that. Learn how to let people in and learn how to sacrificially love others in the midst. And, you know, like Caitlin shared, there's many of us here that are introverts and we find this stuff kind of tricky to think about. You know, we think, I'd just rather do it on my own. It's much easier. But until it's not, hey, until there's something that comes up and you're like, I actually need somebody. I actually need to flesh this out. I need help. And this is where these table communities really provide that space in a really beautiful way. And, you know, if we are going after this real, for real faith, you know, that we've been speaking into, I encourage you guys to give table communities a go. It may seem like a huge leap, but just have a go. Have a chat to us. See what it's all about. We can give you more details. We'll be out at the hub afterwards to answer any questions that you might have. Maybe, you know, in this time of reflection and chatting, you've been stirred. And so we just want to honour that and talk to you about it and be there, you know, to answer any of your questions. So feel free to come and see us at the hub after this. And yeah, I guess I just encourage us not to feel like this is just ticking a community box, because it's like Kristen quoted earlier, this really is the gospel on display. You know, when we choose one another over that self-serving cultural pull to be busy and or even isolated. And let's be honest, our flesh kind of doesn't want to do this type of community because it is that, it's that stretch, that vulnerability, that extra effort. But like many of us have shared here, you will be blessed when you do step into that, when you lean into that, even when you feel like you really don't want to sometimes. Because that's where we grow to be more like Him. I'll just finish off with John 13. Jesus gave us that new command, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. I mean, if we're to follow that command, man, talk about spiritual warfare. That's huge. If we manage this, what an impact we will be to the communities in our lives. And I think it was Karen that shared just around that, when you know that you have this group of people who have mutually committed to be there for one another, we're talking about that in our taco this week, just the power of that. You know, sometimes we're in friendships or circles and we're like, I'm not sure if we're all showing up, you know, for this the same way. But this is where you're like, no, we are. This is what we're showing up for. This is what we want to do. This is what we're going for. We're choosing to love one another here. This is a safe place to tussle out those questions, to be vulnerable. And it's easier to be vulnerable when you know that about your group, that everyone is here for the same reason. So it's really powerful. It just dissolves that question mark around, yeah, that commitment. But hey, we acknowledge this is not, you know, a pressure thing from us. Like, we totally understand that, you know, you may not be in a season where you can do something like this, whether it's with health or just season of life. We completely understand that. But for those of you who have felt a bit of a nudge from the Holy Spirit of, hey, maybe this is for me, maybe this is something I should take a step in, then yeah, we just encourage you and we bless you in that. And we do have QR code on the screen there where you can just fill in a really simple form. It'll just really help us know where you live, not to be creepy, but just to try and align a group where it's, you know, close by. It's got to be sustainable. If it's like 40 minutes away, well, some of you that might be fine and we've given you that option. Are you happy to travel? But for some, it's a lot easier if it is close by. And so we do that intentionally in the form there. And if you do feel like maybe, just maybe, you could lead or co-lead one of these table communities, we would love to hear from you. We need you. You know, and like these guys shared, yes, it might feel a bit like, can I do this? But we, you know, this model is so good. It is so helpful to feel like, okay, yes, it's not all on me. We don't want the responsibility to just be on the leader, because that's not sustainable and that's not kind. You know, we want to be communities, so helping each other, sharing the load. You know, maybe you host and maybe the leader hosts, but maybe they don't. Like our taco, we have a host who's an amazing cook, Anita. Hello, thank you. But then we have someone else that leads. And then recently we've even asked other people to have a go at facilitating, and that's been really wonderful. So yeah, we want to make this easy. We want to make this sustainable. So if you feel that nudge to lead, then we would love to have a chat with you as well. So to finish, Kristen, do you want to pray for us?
Yes, I would love to. Why don't we all pray? Why don't we stand? We can all stand awkwardly on the stage. Why don't we just lift our hands before the Lord? Yeah, Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Lord, that you don't just call us to follow you alone, Lord, but you promise to go with us. Jesus, you promised to walk with us every step of the way. And Lord, you've also promised to put people around about our lives to strengthen us and encourage us and to walk with us in this journey of faith with you, Jesus. And so we thank you, Lord, for that and for your presence here this morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the already formed table communities all across our community. Lord, we release just a fresh blessing, Lord, over each and every one, over each and every leader, host, over every family and individual who belongs to a table community. Lord, would they be strengthened and encouraged in their faith this year. Lord, would you release a grace upon us all to go deeper, Lord, deeper connecting with you and with one another. In Jesus' name. And Lord, for those of us in the room who are yet to be connected in, or we're just wondering about what you're asking of us, Holy Spirit, we just invite you to have your way in our hearts this morning. Lord, would you give us wisdom and discernment, Lord, to discern our season and what it is that you're speaking to us, Lord, about the importance of community and how we can connect with others, Lord, to strengthen and encourage our faith journey. And so, Lord, would you open up a way for us to connect in deeper into community? Father, we just thank you for all that you are doing in our community. Lord, and we ask that you would help us to partner with you in what you are doing in and through our community. And we pray all this in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you were blessed. To find out what's happening in the life of our community, you can visit dayspring.com.au or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram.